Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
The ceasefire in Israel continues to be violated, especially specifically by Hamas, and we wanted to try and understand where we're at. Will it hold? What are the chances of it holding? Or is this inevitably moving back towards a war situation? Joining us now is Professor Kobi Michael, Senior Researcher and Editor-in-Chief at Strategic Assessment at the Institute for National Security Studies in Tel Aviv. As reports confirm that Hamas has violated the ceasefire, we ask, what does this mean for the truce and the release of the remaining non-living hostages? Is it likely that the conflict will return to a full-scale war? A very, very good morning. Thank you for joining us. Let's begin with what we know. What did Hamas do to violate the ceasefire, and how serious a breach was this?
Good morning. Actually, we are in a very fragile situation. The ceasefire, the truce, the end of the war, the agreement, you name it, was violated by Hamas since day one. The last violation actually is not the last, but the most severe one was in Rafah, when two Israeli soldiers were killed and three others were injured. We have to understand that eventually Hamas rejected the plan. Okay, we just have to read, even not in the eyes of a professional or an expert, to read the written response of Hamas in order to understand that they said no. They agreed only to the first stage, which is the releasing of the hostages, the redeployment of the IDF along the yellow line, and the resumption of the humanitarian aid supply. They do not intend to dismantle themselves. Mm-hmm. They do not intend to cooperate with regard to the demilitarization of the Gaza Strip, and they do not intend to leave the Gaza Strip and not to be part of the day after in the Gaza Strip. And just today we were informed that together with the Egyptians, okay, they will be allowed to appoint half of the technocrats in the future technocrats government.
They're going to be part of the government moving forward?
Israel will not accept it, of course. And I hope that the Americans will not accept it, but this was something that was agreed between the Egyptians and Hamas. And I think that at least for Israel, it's pretty understood that we are going to face very severe challenges with regard to the second and the third stage of the plan.
Do you think this was always understood? Do you think it was really about getting back the living hostages more than it was anything else, which means this doesn't matter as much?
No, I think that that Israel actually was behind the plan, behind the President Trump plan. I think that Prime Minister Netanyahu and the Minister Ron Dermer, together with Witkoff and Kushner, all together they baked the plan and they brought it to President Trump in order to assure it. And the plan as a whole, in its entirety, is very good for Israel, because all the five objectives of the war are going to be realized. This will be, if you want, the ultimate victory, and it will be the ultimate defeat for Hamas. But Israel was sober enough in order to understand that the plan will not be implemented so easily. But by accepting the plan, Israel actually builds the legitimacy to continue fighting Hamas in order to dismantle it after getting back and having back all the hostages, alive and dead. But in order to assure that eventually this will happen, I think that Israel has to work very hard in order first to keep President Trump determined, committed, decisive with regard to the plan as a whole, and secondly, to implement Article 16 and 17 in the plan, which say that if Hamas will not comply, then all the mechanism of the plan, which means the technocrat government, the ISF, the International Stabilization Force, and the Peace Board, will go in action, will be established in the areas that Hamas is not present, okay, mainly in the southern part of the Gaza Strip. Now, if Israel will be able to keep President Trump on board, on the one hand, and to push for the implementation of Article 16 and 17 in the southern part of the Gaza Strip, I think that in this case, Israel will be able to expand the legitimization basis for continue fighting Hamas in the north, okay, until dismantling it. And once we will begin implementing the plan in the south and all the mechanism will be established and will begin operating, I think that most or the vast majority of the Gazan population will prefer to move to the south because it will be a much more secured area. They will have a much better chance to begin the healing process and to have better life for them and for their children. And once the population will move to the south, Hamas will remain without its human shield and without most crucial asset that they have, which is the control over the civilian population. And it will be much easier for the IDF to siege the areas in the northern part of the Gaza Strip in order to crush Hamas there. But it is not going to be so easy. And we see that the Egyptians are trying to ease life on Hamas, and it will be much more problematic when it comes to Turkey and Qatar, because Turkey and Qatar are the biggest providers supporters of Hamas, and they are taking care about the interests of Hamas, which means that they believe that they will be able to convince President Trump and the other supporters of the plan to give Hamas time and to pressure Israel to make further concessions, and that they will explain that there are many problems there and so on and so forth. And the idea that they are going to have a sort of a leading role in all of this plan is something that Israel is very concerned about. Mainly the idea that Turkish soldiers will be with foot on the ground in the Gaza Strip, okay, and this is something that serves the interests of Turkey, of Erdogan, about expanding the Turkish hegemony in the entire region by pressuring Israel from the south, from the Gaza Strip, and from the north, from Syria, okay? This is a very, very problematic challenge that Israel has to tackle. And I hope that Israel will be able to convince, first of all, President Trump to minimize as much as possible the Turkish presence and the Turkish influence in Gaza. Unfortunately, President Trump just empowered and leveraged the position of Qatar and Turkey because he understood that these countries are able to pressure Hamas to implement, to realize the first stage. And President Trump was most interested in the first stage, the idea of releasing the hostages, the redeployment of the IDF, and the resumption of the humanitarian aid supply. And then he could declare that the war is ended, and he can open the path towards his grand vision with regard to the region, which means the new regional architecture, the normalization process, the expansion of Abraham Accords, and so on and so forth. And he might lose interest and focus in the other stages of the plan. He will say, let them negotiate and let them do the what they have to do. But we ended the war, and we can open the path towards the realization of the grand vision. And this is a very risky situation for Israel.
Right.
And I believe that at the end of the day, nobody will be able to dismantle Hamas but the IDF. And I think that eventually the IDF will have to do that with agreement with the American administration or without agreement with the American administration. I want to believe that it will be with the full
support,
cooperation, coordination, understanding, and backing of the American administration.
That is where we leave it. That was Professor Kobi Michael from the Israel Institute for National Security Studies, offering his expert insight into Hamas, the latest ceasefire violations, and the uncertain path ahead.